For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Old Testament and read from 1 Kings chapter number 12. That would be page 424 in the Pew Bible.
Prva knjiga Carev ima glava 12.
Correct, yes.
12. glava.
And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter to us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. I'd like to conclude there with the 15th verse. Let us kneel before the Lord in prayer upon our knees. Influencers is a term that has been popularized in these days, and it refers to someone who purportedly has an expert level of knowledge about a certain subject or about a certain topic. And we find that we are influenced a lot in our lives by various measures and various things that we either read or come across or have an experience with. And so we are continually being affected by things that may have an effect on our behavior or on our character or upon our development. And so we need to be careful about what we are being influenced by and who influencers are in our lives. We read this evening about a time in the history of Israel where King Solomon had come to the end of his life, and he had reigned for 40 years, and he now died, and his son Rehoboam was taking over the throne of Israel. And so it was that he went up to Shechem, and they crowned him to be king of Israel. And immediately at that time, Jeroboam, who was in Solomon's house, had to flee to Egypt. And he fled to Egypt because Solomon wanted to kill him, because the prophet Ahijah made a prophecy that Rehoboam was going to receive 10 tribes of Israel and be king over these 10 tribes after Solomon was gone. And so Solomon wanted to kill Jeroboam, and so because of that, Jeroboam fled to Egypt. And now when Solomon died and Rehoboam became king, Jeroboam now comes back into Israel, and he comes to King Rehoboam at this time now, and he brings this request to him. And the congregation of Israel also came with Jeroboam as he makes this request of King Rehoboam. And he says that your father made my yoke really difficult and grievous, and it was a heavy yoke. And if you make that yoke of ours lighter, we will serve thee. We will serve thee. And so King Rehoboam tells Jeroboam to go away for 3 days, and he'll consider it, and then come again. And then during that time, he goes to his father's advisors, the old men, and he asks them, what should I answer these people? And they spake, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. This was the older men's counsel to this new king. And it was words of wise counsel. It was words that as he spoke to them, he told them, if you're going to be a king, you need to have a servant leadership disposition about yourself. That's the way you ought to be king. You ought to be a servant king, a servant leader. And if you give good words and kind words to Jeroboam and those that are with him, then they will serve you. And they'll serve you willingly, and they'll serve you forever. And we read, and we see that truth played out in history over and over, that nothing good is accomplished by tyranny, by a difficult, harsh sentence. No one comes to having a willing attitude to serve underneath such circumstances. But it says here that Rehoboam, this new king, Solomon's son, forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Now, in this case, it was the old men that gave good counsel. But that's not always the case. Often it's the case, but that's not always the case. If we look in the next chapter, we see that there was this old prophet that deceived and lied to the man of God. So in that case, no, that was not good counsel, and it came from an old person. Solomon also, in his later years, when he was old, also became deceived and brought away from the one true God and to serve false gods because of his many wives that he had. And so in his latter years, he wasn't wise, yet he wrote the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and we saw that he had a lot of wisdom, but in his elder years, he was not wise. So in this case that we read here in our chapter this evening, it was that the old brought good counsel, but that's not always the case. And so it is that because of that, we always look to the Word of God. That's the source of wisdom. That's the source of truth. There is no greater truth. Our age doesn't matter. It is the Word of God. And so if we want wise counsel, if we want truth, we look to the Word of God. So he forsakes the old men's counsel, and he goes to his peers, and he asks them, what counsel should I give these people that have come to me and have asked that their burden, that their yoke that was placed upon them be lighter? And they said, thus shall ye speak to these people, my father made, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And so it was that these young men gave this counsel, and it was not good counsel. Why would it be to this new king, Rehoboam, why would it be to his benefit to make this yoke heavier on Jeroboam? There's no benefit to them. And then it would come to pass that Jeroboam and his the people that were with him, this congregation of Israel, that they wouldn't serve Rehoboam willfully. And so this young king, Rehoboam, was influenced by those of his peers. And so his behavior, his character, his development was affected by these influencers here that gave him this counsel. And so when Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, the king answered the people roughly. And nobody likes to be spoken to roughly. That's a horrible way to be spoken to. And yet the king did that to Jeroboam. And he forsook the old men's counsel that he gave him and spake unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. And my father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And so it was that, again, Jeroboam was a servant in Solomon's house, and he was very industrious. The Bible says here in the previous chapter that he was an industrious man, and he was very beneficial to Solomon. And then the prophet comes to him and says that, thus saith the Lord, you will be king over 10 tribes of Israel. He spoke that to Jeroboam, yet he was not Solomon's son. And yet this was being prophesied that Jeroboam was going to be king over 10 tribes of Israel. Rehoboam, this young king, had good influencers in his life. His father, his dad, Solomon, was very wise. And certainly that had effect on him. Certainly he would have read the Proverbs that his father had written. And then his grandfather, King David, knowing that he was a great man and that all Israel really appreciated King David. And so he had good influencers in his life, but he had peers that were not good influencers on him. And he chose to be persuaded and be affected by their counsel. And so his behavior, his character, and his development was affected by his peers and by this evil influence. Sometimes there are peers that are good, but in this case, these peers were not good. And so it's very important that we surround ourselves by those that are good, that we have an environment that would be a positive influence on our behavior, on our character, and on our development. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is this man who's not being influenced by that which is evil. He's not walking with them, he's not standing with them, and he's not sitting with them. His environment isn't with those that are ungodly, or those that are sinners, or those that are scornful. To scorn someone is really hurtful. It's a horrible thing to do. It's just to speak of somebody as if they're worthless. They have no use. They're worthless. That's what it means to scorn. And so the blessed is the man who doesn't surround himself or have the environment of those evil influencers, of these who are sinners. And he doesn't walk with them, he doesn't stand with them, and he doesn't sit with them. And Proverbs certainly has many wonderful instructions on how we ought to be guarded against evil influencers. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked." Don't be influenced by evil influencers. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." Don't surround yourself by evil influences. Don't be in an environment where those evil ways are. There's a song in the gospel hymns that we like to sing, "Shun evil companions, bad language, disdain." Don't be a part of that influence, that evil influence. Further in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24, says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." When we're in that evil environment and we're being influenced by these evil, we're going to learn their ways. And so the Bible here is saying, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Don't be in company with them. It will be as you'll learn their evil ways, and to see someone that's angry and furious, you'll learn that. And so the Bible is saying, make no friendship with them, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare unto thy soul. Our souls live forever. Our souls will never die. Our souls will live on forever. And we will get a snare to our soul if we are influenced by an angry and a furious man. We need to be careful about our surroundings, about who we allow to shape us, who we allow to have an effect on our behavior, on our character, on our development. It's a common saying that we are a product of our environment. If we are with those who are angry, we will learn their angry ways. If we are sitting and walking with those who are scornful or who do evil things, we will learn their ways. We will become a product of our environment. And so we need to be guarded against evil influence, that we might keep pure before the Lord and do his will and be blessed by him. We can see in the Bible and in life, we've seen those who were influenced by that which was evil, and it was a snare to them. In the Bible, we see of Lot, how when him and Abraham separated ways, that he saw the good land and of the plains, and he wanted to go there. And when he went there, he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Peter's gospel, it speaks that righteous man, Lot, he was dwelling among them. He was in their environment. And seeing and hearing the Sodomites' ways, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so it's very important that we eliminate, that we take away evil influences from our lives. If Rehoboam, if this young king would have surrounded himself by wise counsel and could have understood that my peers gave me some bad advice, I'll never get Jeroboam to serve me with a willing heart if I listen to them. And so Lot was vexed, his righteous soul, from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Then last Sunday afternoon, we read a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Being led away by the error of the wicked. Being influenced by those who are wicked, those who are scornful, those who are angry, those who give bad advice, those who will bring a snare to your soul. And so it was, as we mentioned, King Solomon, he married 700 wives, had 300 concubines, and in his latter years, those wives that he married caused him to be persuaded to bow down to their gods, the gods of the Edomites and the Ammonites and the other gods that were there, where God dispelled all those people because of their idolatry and brought in the children of Israel. He was influenced. He was influenced. And that happens often, is that when we are continuously exposed to evil, there comes a tolerance to that evil. And it should not be. It should not be. We should always be on guard to watch our souls, that we keep them pure before the Lord, that we keep our minds focused upon the Lord. And so we see that there are evil influencers, and there's great danger being in an environment where there is evil. And so what do? We replace that evil with that which is good. We replace that which is good, and we look to good influencers. And so we think of Jesus Christ, comes to our mind first, our Lord and our Savior, who loved us so, who had great devotion, who had great sacrifice for us, who loved us and served us in giving up of his life for us. And so we look to Jesus Christ as our greatest and one influencer, and knowing that he will guide our souls into that eternity which is blessed and forever. And so we look to him, we look to Jesus, and we want to be by Jesus, and we allow him to mold us and to shape us and to bring us to the image of our dear Lord and Savior and to our Father. And then we look at the characters in the Bible of Abraham and Daniel and Job, who were not going to be vexed with the unrighteous deeds of those that were round about them. But we look to them and we see that they purposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves with the things of this world, that they would not be influenced by that which is evil, but that they would walk uprightly before the Lord, and even in the small things of not eating the king's meat, that they would keep themselves pure. And so we allow ourselves to be influenced by them as well. We live in a deceitful world. We live in a deceitful world. It's just that phrase of the fake news and all of that, we see it to be so prevalent. But the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. And so we allow our lives to be influenced by the Word of God. We know that the Word of God will lead us to those eternal mansions. And so we meditate on the Word, and we allow the Word to have impact on us, to have effect on us, that our behavior, our character, our development would all be affected by the Word of God. That as we meditate upon it, and as we consider, you know, we hear a lot of messages, a lot of messages, 3 sermons a week, and then we have conversations among ourselves, and we read the Bible ourselves. We are reading it, and we understand it, and we are taking it in, and we're absorbing it, and we need to meditate on it. Meditate on the Word of God. The verse of Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Let the Word of God influence us. Let the Word of God mold us. Let the Word of God shape our character. Let the Word of God develop us, that we would grow into the image of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Another way to allow us to be influenced by that which is good is music. Music is a very powerful force. It moves our soul. It really takes over our environment and our minds and our process and our thought processes. When we think of like a beautiful song, or we're listening to a beautiful song on a CD or whatever it might be, or we're singing in the congregation, whatever it might be, it can have a powerful effect on us. That's a good influence. And those words really move our soul. And so we ought to be listening to wholesome, good music. and to keep our environment wholesome, that we might have that good influence that the Lord would have us to dwell in and to be impacted by and affected by. Then beyond that, we know what evil influences are. We know what an evil environment is, and we know that we need to remove that from our lives, and we know that we need to be impacted by that which is good. But then beyond that, then we can grow and be an influencer ourselves by the grace of God. That we would be that good influence to those round about us. That we would please the Lord in that. That as we have no use for sin and aren't impacted by sin, and as we let the Word of God work in our hearts, and as we retain and meditate upon Jesus Christ and what He has done and all these things, that then we would grow in grace in the Lord, and that we might also then have an impact ourselves, that we might be that good influence that the Lord has called us to. It was referenced last Sunday, I'll mention it again, that the Lord is calling us, that we are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hillside. And we shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works, that men may see your good works, that you might be an influencer, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's the purpose, that as we would desire to have a positive impact on others, that we would be that good influence, that ultimately God would receive glory, that He would be praised. Then lastly, I just want to read a verse in Mark's gospel where Jesus Christ says, and this is us, salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his saltness, wherewith will it be seasoned? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Be that preserving force in this world. Be that good influence in this world. Build the character, build the behaviors and the growth and the development of others. When someone asks you for counsel or some good advice, don't give them bad advice as the peers of King Rehoboam did. Give good advice. Be a light. Be the salt of the earth that Jesus Christ is calling us to, that ultimately the Lord would be glorified. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.
King made a big mistake. He had a choice. He had 3 days to make the decision. It wasn't just one person that came with the plea. He said, the Bible says, all Israel, whole congregation, they all came asking him, begging him to make the yoke easier, lighter. It wasn't something hard. If he would have been wise, he would have been able to tell them right away. They even told him, "We will serve thee. We will serve you forever." And yet, he wanted advice, which wasn't bad either. He wanted to make sure. So the old man, as brother mentioned already, gave him a good advice. And I'm sure that he knew it was good. But he wanted something different. So he went to his friends, young friends. Now in this case, the old men were right. They had good advice. It doesn't mean that they're always right. In Job we can read, the great men are not always wise, neither do aged men understand judgment. So it's not always the case. But the old men have experience. They went through a lot. They think differently. If they gave him a good advice,
But he did not listen to them. He wanted something else. And that cost him. It created great revolt against him. He lost the tribe of Israel. He was still, at the end, king of Judah. But he lost the tribe of Israel. Dear ones, when we hear a good advice, and we know deep down it's a good advice, it doesn't matter where it comes from, young man or old man, someone that's been in faith for a long time or just a year or two, if it's a good advice, it's a good advice. We need to take it. There are always consequences when we make decisions. And we need to always pray. So many times in our life, we have to make a decision. And if we're not sure, even if we are sure, we should always kneel down and ask our Father. Our dear God will always give us good advice, best advice, but we need to ask him. If we ask him, and if we listen, if we are obedient, he will be well with us. And this king, if he would have been smarter or wiser, it would have been well with him also. But he was not. Hope and pray that we would learn even a lesson from this chapter that was read, that we would always pray to our Heavenly Father and ask him to guide our thoughts and our mind, that we would be always ready and willing to serve him and to follow his commandments. May God bless his word. Amen.